Okay, well, here we are with another hour to go of open lines for you on a Monday night. So let's get right to it when we come back on Coast to Coast Day Out. Okay, welcome back, and let's go right back to the phones. We'll go to Regan in Bergensfield, New Jersey, on the wild card line. Hi, Regan.
Hello, George. Thanks for taking my call. It's a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you.
And the rest of the Coast listeners. The comment I wanted to make was regarding the guest you had on, I think it was about a week and a half ago, and he was talking about the 3 days of darkness. Do you remember?
Keep going.
Okay, so
as it wasn't a weekend.
Excuse me?
Was it a weekend?
I don't remember. You know, I have it recorded on my CC Witness, and I've been listening to it, but I don't remember the date. But anyway, I read about this 3 days of darkness back in, like, the early 90s, because there is a Catholic saint, and I forgot because this was, like, 15, 16 years ago that I read this, but there's a Catholic saint who predicted 3 days of darkness, and it sounded exactly what your guest was talking about. He said that it would be 3 days, only blessed candles will work, and you're not supposed to go outside. But one thing that he mentioned that I don't think your guest mentioned was that a great cross would be seen in the sky. Apparently, there's going to be a great cross that can be seen in the sky, and it's going to have something to do with conversion. Like, it's like the last, time is so short that he's going to give us a powerful sign to convert. And that's what I read about 15 or 16 years ago, and I couldn't believe it when I heard your guest talking about it, and I was wondering if he maybe knew about this saint, if he got any of his information from that, but it was pretty incredible. And
might have been Pat Chouinard.
Okay, and I don't know if you have a moment, George. I also believe I was witness to a miracle right here in Jersey.
What happened?
Connected to Our Lady of what was it? Over in Yugoslavia, Medjugorje. I heard on WCBS News Radio for like 5 days in a row. They said that the children were saying that the Blessed Mother was going to perform a miracle for all the world to see.
Mm-hmm.
And on that day, you know, I was really attentive. And what I saw, I couldn't believe what I saw in the sky. But there was a cloud formation that looked exactly like an atomic explosion. And then right next to it, there was another one that looked exactly like an atomic explosion. And this was back in 89. And the definition was so, I mean, it looked like a painting in the sky. That's how unbelievable it was. And it wasn't just one, it was two, as if she was saying, okay, you don't believe it? Here's another one, just the same. And I couldn't believe it. And when I talked to people about it, they said they never saw anything like that, and you'll never see anything like that in the sky. And
so they were witnesses too, then?
They were. They didn't. I don't remember if I had told everybody that it was connected to that, but they said they could not believe what they saw in the sky. They couldn't believe it. It was like the most unbelievable thing, and it was back in 89, back in 89.
What do you think the significance of the date was?
1989. I'm not sure what the significance of the date was, but I think the warning was that if we keep going in the same direction that we're going in, it's going to lead to some type of a war. And also, there's also, I believe the seer said that there's a prophecy that Our Lady of Medjugorje is also going to leave a permanent sign at some time, just the same way that gentleman who called earlier about Garabandal. I think there's also supposed to be a sign that's going to be left somewhere over there that's going to be a permanent sign. And I think something's happening with all the, I think it has something to do with the third secret of Fatima, what Brother Diamond talked about Our Lady of La Salette.
Right.
Saying that we're in the last days. I mean, I really think that something's happening. And the whole thing is to just be spiritually ready.
But you don't think it's end times, do you?
Many
do. Many do.
I don't know what it is, but I just feel like something is around the corner. I just have this impending. Well,
everybody
feeling
like feels that. Everybody feels that. You're not alone there.
There's just too many people. I mean, how can so many people feel this way? Everything's just like, and I don't know. It's like time is speeding up, and just so many things that are happening. If you look at the newspaper, you can always connect it to prophecy and what your guests are always saying, you know, about what these globalists are trying to do. Then you read something in the paper about they're trying to do something with this or that, and everything just keeps clicking. There's just too many clicks, too many tumblers are going off.
There's never been a time, never, where all these pieces are starting to fall into place like this, where people see it. Let's go to Nampa, Idaho. Deborah's with us. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
Hi, George. Wow. I'm very nervous. I'm first time caller.
Well, thanks for calling. I'm glad you got through.
First time I ever called, and the guy answered, I can't believe it. It's my birthday, too. So anyway.
Well, happy birthday. Mine's coming up in a week.
I'm very nervous, but I want to share with you something that happened to me since these calls are so... Anyways, it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the age. I'm going to make a long story short. I had gotten involved in politics thinking I could change things. I had just come back from lunch with Ron Paul. This was in 08.
Okay.
And I thought I could change things and help. I figured, well, they just don't know what they're doing. Anyways, I get home, and I was a newbie on the internet, too, believe it or not. And that was just 08. I'm a grandmother. I'm flipping through the internet. I'm new to it, and I'm on the Ron Paul website, and people are linking, and I linked to a page that opened that devastated me.
What was it?
It was a picture of a woman holding a baby that was blown up by a drone. And for the first time in my life, I was shocked. And I hurt so bad for that little baby and that mother that I just was like, acted like I never do, and I just started crying out to God to please come back and stop the violence. It was like 5:30 in the morning because C-SPAN was on the TV, if I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood up. I got on the floor, you know, and I was only on the floor for like 30 seconds. It's not a big deal. I'm not a spiritual person. I stand up and I walk to my kitchen and something happened, bam, in my mind. And I got this direct download instantly. I could see, and I'll explain a little bit more, because I didn't really know what happened to me, but I understood all things, and I could see, and I had a vision, and I almost fainted, and I started hyperventilating, and I looked over the TV, because it was still on, and they weren't human.
What do you mean they weren't human?
They weren't what you think they were. They were, they weren't human. All the word that came to me was dinosaur, okay?
Did you say dinosaur?
Yeah, that's the word that came to me. And anyways, I was a big business owner and all that kind of stuff, and I was so freaked out by the event that I walked away from everything. I mean, I went to everybody and tried to tell them what happened.
What do you mean you walked away from? You gave up on everything?
Yeah, I had to find out what was going on, because what happened to me and what I saw changed my life. I'm still kind of freaked out, wondering who's real and who's not, because I went on a journey to find out what had happened and who was God and what was going on, because he told me. I knew exactly. Let me tell you what I knew exactly.
Deborah, slow down a little bit. You're scattering all over the place here.
I know. I'm a nervous wreck.
Are you a nervous wreck because you're on the radio, or are you just nervous in general?
No, because I'm on the radio and I'm telling something that I've been afraid to tell people because...
Well, slow back. I mean, you got to do this chronologically. You got to tell us exactly what has happened to you rather than all these 45 different things. Because you've got millions of people now trying to figure out what the heck you're talking about.
Okay, I had a vision, and what I saw, and I don't know how to explain it, is just the Word of God. And everything I knew instantly. People talk about direct downloads from their starships and all that stuff. Well, I had a direct download from the Spirit of Truth.
Okay, Deborah, I tell you what. I'm going to have Tommy talk to you and try to sort through this with you because I can't. And let me take a few more calls. Let's go to David in Fresno, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, David, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay.
I'd like to say an offer of prayer for all of our fallen this Memorial Day.
Well noted.
I'd like to say thanks for your personal service to our country. I've been listening to you for probably about the last 7 years, and I've been a truck driver and an employee of United Parcel Service for that time. And
great company.
We're part of the infrastructure.
You deliver.
And we deliver.
You deliver.
And I'll say that I have to personally extend to you and your staff a Thank you for allowing me to steal money from my employer by allowing every night that I'm allowed to listen to you for 8 to 10 hours a day and learn all this fantastic information. I have to thank you personally and your staff.
Let's not let them know you're doing this.
Exactly. It's a secret between you and me and the 3 other million people.
You got it.
The whole point is you've saved my retirement. A shout out to you, Miss Shedlock, Catherine Austin Fitz, Gerald Salente, Cliff High with the Webbuck guys. And I would have been financially destroyed, and I would have been in the paradigm of the banksters. I've taken my entire retirement out, put it in physical coin, physical precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm outside that paradigm.
Gosh, you must have bought at a right time, too, didn't you?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I bought in at, at about $13 an ounce.
Silver?
Silver, absolutely.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
I've got to say thank you. You've opened my eyes. You've saved me and about 10 other people I know. And maybe that's rubbed off on 10 other people and 10 other people and 10 other people. Whereas if I would listen to the pundits like, Jim Cramer and all the other idiots on TV, which are the bankster-controlled media, I would have lost. But now I've made about 18% per annum.
That's phenomenal.
Since 2005. Thank you, George.
You've got a nice little nest egg put away.
No, George, here's the illusion. I've maintained my purchasing power. I've only gotten percentages in relation to Federal Reserve notes.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 43.
Oh, you're too young to retire.
I'm not going to retire, but here's the whole point. What I've worked really hard, working, 50, 60 hours a week for the last 7 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. I've been continually employed since I was 16, and I don't remember a day where I didn't work at least 12 hours.
I'm the same way.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's the type of thing I got to say thanks, because whereas other people bought into the Kool-Aid and drank it by the gallon when they were telling me, hey, the housing only goes up. Real estate only goes up. it's not a bubble. It's California. It's real estate. I'm in Central California. And I saw the average house, and I was a package car driver at the time, not what are called the feeder drivers, the truck drivers. But I saw literally ground zero from the housing bubble, where I saw an average house of $129,000, which was Joe Sixpack, 2 bedrooms, 1 bath, go up to $329,000 in like a 3 or 4 year period.
Crazy.
And I was like, this isn't real. This is what's going on here.
And people were still buying them then.
I have literally seen real estate brokers and 3 or 4 couples bidding on a house in the driveway, almost going to fisticuffs to get the highest bid on a house back in like 2005.
Man, those days are gone now, aren't they?
Okay, the place that I live in is paid for. I'd rather have a Cracker Box paid for than a palace on mortgage.
Yep, no debt.
And I was raised in the old school. And let's just say that the place that I live in is not fantastic by any means, about 1,000 square feet. It's worth about $60,000.
But it's yours, David. It's yours.
Yes. And at the peak, it was worth $195,000.
Wow.
So I've just got to say that thank you. I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. I got some alternate information. You saved me a tremendous amount of grief.
That's part of our job. I mean, that's what we do. We bring those kind of guests to the table who lay it out there, and then it's up to you to decide what you're going to do. Look, nobody's going to force feed anybody. If we talk about alternative medicine, vaccinations, supplements, whatever it is, you have to decide what you want to do. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do. And I'm glad you took your own personal advice based on what you heard And then you made the right move. Well, for, good for you. Thanks, David. Let's take a couple more calls before the break. Then we'll come back with more open lines. We'll go to Norfolk, Virginia. Sorrel's with us. And there you are. Hi, Sorrel.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Is it Sorrel or Sorrel? How'd I pronounce it?
Sorrel.
Sorrel. Okay. That's different. You there?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
A couple of things. One, thank you for serving. I'm active duty military.
Oh, are you?
Right
okay.
Now.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I never saw any combat, by the way. I mean, I had
I never. I'm sorry?
I was 9 years Navy, but I mean, I wasn't on the front.
Well, I was never in Iraq or Afghanistan, and I'm almost done with my tour. But I'm very, very grateful for all the benefits that.
It's great experience. And you meet great people.
Absolutely. I'm calling about a dream that I had a while ago. My great-grandmother, who I referred to as little grandma growing up, she was a very small old woman and extremely loving, had a really terrible death. She fell in her apartment, and it caused her ankle, her foot, to just be hanging on by a tendon.
I don't know
what it's called when you're just very fragile, and when you get knocked around a little bit easy, just like a simple bump on the knee could cause a lot of bruising and bleeding, and she had that condition.
So her foot was like dangling.
Right. It was just dangling.
Oh.
So she was calling for help, but no one heard her for about 18 hours. And her neighbor finally got her, and she was just in terrible condition. So she was in the hospital. They put a rod in her ankle, and she just wanted to go home. She was a very, very independent woman.
Sure.
She said, just bring me home. She ended up having a stroke, and that left her obviously in worse condition.
Sure.
She was paralyzed. She wasn't able to speak, and then she got pneumonia. I mean, it just kept going.
Yeah, everything happened. Well, it snowballs once it starts.
Right. So when she got pneumonia, they moved her to a different center, they being the agreement between the place that she was at along with my family. And she wasn't able to take in any food because she was, again, paralyzed. And they realized every time they gave her something, she would spike a very high fever. So they said, listen, we can keep her here, but we don't have the means to give her anything intravenously, or we could bring her to another facility where they can do so, but her condition is just so terrible, we're not sure how long she's going to have. And I was in middle school at the time, and the decision was to keep her there, and it was terrible because she was basically starving to death for a few weeks.
How old was she when she went?
Mid-80s,
yeah.
So,
which is a good run.
Oh, it was an absolutely good run. She loved so many people and was loved by so many people. And so she passed away, and the moment she passed away, the last thing that she said to my mother and father was, I love you. Without being able to speak, she said, I love you.
Okay, hold on right there, Sorrel, because I have a feeling there's a moral to this story, and I want to get to it when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to go back to Norfolk, Virginia. Sorrel is with us to finish up her story. Hi, Sorrel, go ahead.
All right, George. So I left off at that my great-grandmother, little grandma, was in very frail condition. And she ended up passing away. Her last words, without being able to speak for so long to my mother and father, were, I love you. And it was incredible. So I was obviously very upset. I was in middle school. And a few days after her death, I was asleep one night. And it was one of those, the dream I had where I knew I was dreaming, a lucid dream. I rarely ever have those. And I saw myself in my bed sleeping. And I was smiling. My entire room was bright, as if it was the best summer day, just noon, but I was sleeping. And I turn around, and the door opens. And this is all still in the dream, of course. And a huge light floods into the room. And my grandma appears. she's wearing this blue sweater. It's got some yellow and red polka dots on it. It was very strange. She never had a sweater like that. And
wonder who gave it to her, right?
I'm sorry?
Wonder who gave it to her.
Right. So I get up out of bed, and I run to her, and I hug her. And I said, Grandma, I love you. I miss you. And she tells me that she's okay. Everything's going to be okay, and that she will look after me. So I get up in the morning, and I'm in tears, obviously.
Oh, sure. I would do. Yeah.
And I wake up, and I go out of my room into the living room. My mom and dad are there. So I didn't know how to go about describing this. I talked to them, and I said, Mom, Dad, you won't believe this. I start telling about the dream. I only get as far as the door opens and Grandma appears. Now, my sister slept on the other side of the house. We can't see or hear each other. We both had our doors closed.
Okay.
And I get to the point where I said, well, the door opened, Mom, and the light floods in. My sister comes out of the room on the other side of the house, goes into the living room, and she goes, was she wearing a blue sweater with red and yellow? And it was incredible.
You must have freaked.
I couldn't stop crying. I was this mixed emotion of happy and sad, and it blew my mind.
Your sister had the same dream.
She had the exact same dream. My sister described the beginning of it to me. She said, because we talked about it a little bit more, and she said, I dreamt I was asleep, and this light flooded in, and it was the exact same dream.
A classic visitation.
Right. We knew that we had this amazing connection with her when she was alive, but even more so now that she has passed away, we know that she's looking after us and that she's a very protective spirit.
Yeah, have there been events in your life where you just knew she was there helping you?
Absolutely. One of the big ones, I know this may sound sound strange, but when I joined the military, because I wasn't so certain about my decision, but something pushed me so much towards, this is the right thing you have to do. This is what you need in order to get to where you need to be in life and to do the things that you have to do, type of guide, type of spirit. And along with other small circumstances throughout my life, but
good for you.
She's absolutely been a positive guide. With that being said, that actually leads me to a quick question that I had for you.
Sure.
Well, George, I also know that I have negative spirit guides. As much as she's here protecting me, I've been doing a lot of meditation, a lot of self-discovery lately, and I realize that one of the things that I've been struggling with is a negative spirit guide, and I've led it back to a connection that I had a long time ago, a mistake I made many, many years ago that I didn't even think about when I was younger. And I'm a Coast Insider. I listen to the show all the time. But do you recommend a guest that's been on that could help to rid of negative spirit guides, of evil or negative in someone's life?
Sherelle, one of my favorite guests, Marianne Winkowski, and you can search her. We've got a little search section at coasttocoastam.com. Just type in Marianne Winkowski, Winkowski. She is very good and very helpful, and maybe she will be able to do something for you there. I am convinced that this universe is full of good and bad, positive, negative, and the fact that there's good and evil, and the fact that it surrounds you, you know, makes you a human being. Everybody has that surrounding them, but she would be able to help you a lot. Okay, back at you with our final segment of Open Lines here. And by the way, let me tell you what's in store for the rest of the week as we get rolling. We've got a split program for you. First couple hours tomorrow, Robert Zubrin joins us talking about his new work on environmental and space exploration. Then we're going to be talking with an expert on the modern Book of the Dead. Make sure you're part of that program on Tuesday. On Wednesday, reincarnation. The Book of Lost Fragrances, I kid you not.
Thursday, we're going to talk about remote viewing with a professional intelligence officer. And then Friday, we're back to some strange things and open lines again on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Long Beach, California. Alan is there in the shadows of the Queen Mary. Hi, Alan.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking the call.
You are quite
welcome. I'm calling to commemorate my father-in-law, Don Barada, who died at age 19 in World War II. He was one of the prisoners that was massacred at the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh, my.
And to commemorate my brother-in-law, John Gist, who died a few years ago. He was a Korean War veteran. We never got much about or from him, but when his son sent off for his military record, we found out he won 2 Silver Stars.
Oh, he didn't even tell anybody.
No. He just told me he did reconnaissance.
A true hero.
And he was really thankful when he came back and ended up in a Turkish camp, because nobody snitched at the Turks. If somebody shot at them, they went out, cut off their head, and stuck it up on a pole.
Yep, that's what they did.
And also to tell you a story that one of my superior co-workers told me. He was about 55 at the time. He was an intelligence agent during World War II. He told me that the Battle of the Bulge was a deliberately set. They took 3 battle-hardened divisions off the line and replaced the 2 divisions fresh off the boat, including my father-in-law, to bait the trap so the Germans would come through there for sure. Now, my brothers talked to one of the other survivors of the battle in one of those 2 divisions. His company had of 200 men, had an 800-yard section to cover. They had 1 light machine gun. And that's all.
Jeez. My father was in that battle, too. He was in that one. All right, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Tom's got a text message for us back there in the studio. What do you have, Tom?
George, Samantha in West Virginia says, George, I'm 19 and would like to work in the field of aerospace someday and maybe even go to Mars. Do you think we will get to Mars in the next 30 years or so?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. Eventually we'll go. Things will change. We'll pick up our space program again. And it might be the private sector that goes, but I think we will go to Mars, and what a moment that will be.
So you can also call and talk to Robert tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
He's an expert on that. Robert Zubin, of course, has a plan to terraform Mars, and it's pretty novel, very experimental. See what happens. Let's go to Roger in Jefferson City, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hey, Roger, good morning.
Hey, George. Hey. I was just wondering if you had an opportunity to watch this segment that was on TV on Animal Planet about mermaids.
I didn't see it. I had a couple emails today about it.
It was astounding.
It was different, wasn't it?
It was very different, and they had actual scientists, not people that claimed to be scientists, who really didn't want to put their name out there, but they said they were compelled to, because how are people going to know if they don't come forward with this information?
What were they concluding?
They were concluding, and they, for the longest part throughout the whole show, they did everything they could to keep from coming right out and saying mermaids. But they finally said it was mermaids. They said there's no way around it. They found spear points that were homemade from the barbs of a stingray that were fashioned into whalebone for spears that they were finding out in the middle of the ocean that were sticking in these whales that had been hunted. And they had broken off, and they found these, and they found it alongside a shark, a huge killer shark that had actually eaten one of these mermen. And
wow.
they dumped the insides of this shark out, and they couldn't figure out what this thing was until they took it back to their laboratory and did a lot of testing, DNA. And they put it together, and they did x-rays and scans, and they said, this thing is close to being human as you and I.
Well, I can't. You know what? There's no reason why there can't be another life form on this planet.
Well, you watch this show. I'm telling you, you're going to actually come away with the same thing I came away with. And
you don't think it's an animal after you look at the show, do you?
No, it's not an animal. You can pretty much see from what they pieced together, the skull, what they had, and that in itself was enough. But then when they had the government come in there and seize up everything and take it away because of, security of, and government was involved in it now, and it's all gone.
Now, you think of mermaids as just being female, but can't you also have a male?
Mermen.
Mermen, yeah. Mermen.
Yes, and these things are able to breed, they said, and they go into all the details of how they came about, and it's pretty believable.
All right, that's good. I'll definitely see it. Let's take a few more calls. We'll go to Becker in Toronto, Canada. Hi, Beck. Go ahead.
Hey, George, it's Baker. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I was wondering if you had any luck with your tuning fork.
Not really.
No?
I can hear it up close, but it won't work through my microphone, so I gave up on that.
Okay, well, I have a couple of ideas why it didn't work for you.
Sure.
Well, your microphone is isolated because it's a professional radio microphone.
Yes.
You'll notice it's kind of held up by a couple of elastic bands.
Right.
And the frequency can't penetrate through that. That's the reason it's there. So it won't hear you clunking on the table or making any sound sort of thing. It's isolated.
Right.
That, or there could be a noise floor on the gate, so you have to have a certain volume level to break through it for it to broadcast.
Okay.
But if one of your engineers has a tone generator, that's a device that would hook right into the electronics of your broadcasting system, and you can actually pinpoint that frequency and simply broadcast it that way.
Which is 528 hertz.
That's right. So you can simply punch in 528 hertz to it and broadcast that. And it'll work just fine for you.
All right. I'll check into that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, I bought this tuning. They say, Dr. Leonard Horowitz says that 528 is the sound to put your body back in balance. So I went out and bought one of these tuning forks. I had it delivered. I bought it on the internet. And it's a neat little thing. And you can hear it when it's not going through the radio. And then, just hold it up to your ear and it kind of balances you. Let's go to Pennsylvania, first-time caller. Hi, Jessica. Go ahead. Jessica is no longer with us. Oh, Sheboygan, we go to Wisconsin. Thomas, your turn. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, George, what's going on?
Good, all is well.
Cool. I have something to say about a Russian Orthodox theory that was present in their church since primarily the church was founded. It theorized that the fallen angels got redeemed.
They got redeemed? Interesting.
Yeah, it says in the Gospel of Nicodemus, a hidden text, Jesus says to a disciple that is not listed in the Bible that God desires hell to be emptied. And there are other biblical evidences from the Bible itself, like Job 25:2, dominion and fear are with him, and he makes peace in his high places. Or Isaiah 45:12, I, even my hands, are stretched out to heaven. All their hosts have I commanded.
Okay.
What it really means is one primary verse in the Quran that needs to be said. And as for the moon, it means primarily the station of the fallen angels. Have we appointed certain mansions or stations, smooth progressions, until she changed, returned to the old palm rest of the palm?
Well, if they were redeemed, what happened to them?
They're in heaven. The redeemed.
Oh, they went back. They went back up.
Yes. Now, I know that might seem disgusting to some people, but you have to look at it in the context of what God wants. He desires all his children to come home, as it says in the Quran.
Well, that's an interesting theory, too. A couple minutes to go. We'll go to Irvin in Stockton, California. Hi, Irv.
Oh, good morning, George.
Good morning to you, too.
I've been in Stockton, California since June 07. I had an observation. I noticed overhead mostly all this year I see the jets crisscrossing the sky. It'd be a clear morning that the jets crisscrossing the sky. But as I moved here in June 07 from San Francisco, I noticed that my tires on my bike and on my car and truck were deteriorating much faster than they were when I was living in San Francisco. And my observation is that whatever they're spraying probably intensifies the ozone and just eats right through rubber. Call it latex.
You wonder what it's doing through somebody's lung.
Yeah, for sure.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks. Hey, by the way, Wednesday, pass this on to your friends in San Francisco. Brand new station for us, 910 Talk Radio 910 on the AM dial. We are going to work with these folks and make that station grow. It's strong already, and we're going to just help propel it. And I predict it'll be probably one of the strongest stations in San Francisco in terms of news talk. 910 AM dial starting Wednesday in San Francisco as we keep adding to our growing affiliate base. John in Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, John, it's your turn.
Good morning, George.
Hi there. How's things in Baltimore?
I wanted to throw a little question at you about the Antichrist. What do you think about Watson being the Antichrist? You know, the prophecy with the spider web around the earth, which is the internet, and everything is controlled by computers these days.
Well, you know, I theorized a long time ago that the computer could be the 666, the sign of the beast. As great as computers might be, who knows what they could be. In terms of the Antichrist, I'm not sure the Antichrist is out there yet. I really don't. Peter in Canyon Country, California. Hey, Peter.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking
sure
my thing. Call.
Sure thing. Squeeze you in. We got about a minute and a half.
I'll go for it right now. So I work at a radio station here in SoCal, and across the street, all of us go get coffee at Starbucks, okay?
Okay.
I had a dream where I run into this guy who just happened to work at the place I frequent, grab my coffee, and a week later goes by. I'm waiting in line. It's a really long line, and I say, screw it, you know? And I talk to my coffee guy, and I say, hey, bro, I had a dream with you in it. And he starts laughing, you know, like, uh-oh. But he's a cool dude.
Sure.
So I tell him, I said, in my dream, I was like, your name, for whatever reason, your name is Nick. What's your name? And he's like, my name's Nathaniel.
Whoa.
And I was like, that's pretty close.
That's,
you know,
close.
That's pretty close. He keeps staring at me. He's like, I have a twin brother named Nick.
Whoa.
That's not the only one. I had a dream last night. Some lady with blue hair, I'm in a salon or whatever, she's cutting my hair. I got long dreadlocks, okay?
Yeah.
I tell my girlfriend the next day, she's like, I had a dream where her mother cutting my hair.
You're onto something. You've got some kind of synchronicity. We've got to do another show on synchronicity because far too many of these things are happening. And as you know, there are no coincidences. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lautasseur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.